Photographer Thomas Struth captures larger-than-life images of places people don't normally visit, places like space stations and physics laboratories. His art often focuses on technology and man-made landscapes, and his images encourage viewers to see the world perhaps differently, perhaps deconstructed. Atlanta's High Museum of Art opens a new exhibit of his works this weekend. It's called Thomas Struth, Nature and Politics, and that's the first time this exhibit will be shown in the U.S. Thomas Struth is in town for the opening, and he joins me now. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Also with us is Gregory Harris. He's the High Museum's Assistant Curator of Photography. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
Thomas, this is called Nature and Politics, and yet many of the photographs focus not on nature, like when you walk out into the forest, at all. Tell me where the title of the exhibit derives from.
Yeah, the title of the exhibition came up, I mean, the title of that body of work came up as a working title predominantly in the beginning, because I thought I need something when I talk to my assistants, you know, about that body of work, that we know what it's about. And nature and politics, from the beginning it was clear that this is about the dominance of technology in our thinking and our kind of your projected hopes into the future as a level of progress. But I wanted to point that the part of politics that's involved in science and technology, and so nature and politics was a kind of almost like joking title first, because I felt like in every development of technology that cannot happen without nature, particles, bacteria or whatever, but also in every science and technology activity, there's politics implemented, because there's intentions in it. Yeah, there's dimensions of consequences that will come up that often are not thought about in the beginning. So there's always nature and politics in all science and technology activities we do.
And there's a photo of the aquarium here in Atlanta, and as a number of your photographs do, it includes the viewers. Which we'll talk about in just a second, but almost the top quarter of it is obliterated by this bright white light. And it occurs to me, especially related to what you're talking about in terms of the title, that even though what we're looking at in that photograph looks natural, it's man-made. It's technology that's created that reef inside the aquarium. So why, when you're constructing these photos, are you looking for pure beauty? Do the photos have to have a narrative or a commentary?
Well, I think, for me, I think when you're an artist or a musician or a writer, foremost it begins with the question of reason. What's my reason to write a book or to compose a piece of music or to make a picture or a photograph or a painting? So you need to become clear of the reason why you become active, and I think beauty, or like to seduce people to you stand in front of a picture and look at it, it needs a certain amount of beauty, you know, like a seductiveness. So that can be perfection, that can be your great composition, but it definitely needs, in my point of view, it needs a perfection in terms of every detail that's in the picture has to be in the picture, and everything that's in front of you of what I want to photograph, that's maybe not necessary to develop the narrative of what I want to talk about. It should be excluded. So the framing, the cropping, and all the observing all the details. You know, for example, in that photograph you were talking about, you know, how the children behave and what they're doing when I have several negatives. It has to be edited, and it has to be digested. It has to be thought through, and it must be there.
So, Gregory, what, I mean, every exhibit creates its own challenges. What were the challenges of this one other than size, right? Many of these photos are huge.
Right, yeah. Many of the photographs are several feet wide, and they're enormous photographs, which is an amazing experience to have in the museum. In terms of challenges, I mean, the work deals with a lot of very big, very complex ideas. So these ideas about creativity and human ingenuity and how human ingenuity shapes the physical world that we live in. And so trying to find a way to communicate that to a viewer was a big challenge, because the photographs don't immediately reveal the meaning.
Yeah, they need time.
You need time to digest them. You need a little bit of context in some cases. So the way that we tried to work through those problems was we worked very closely with Thomas and how the photographs were arranged, which walls they went on, which galleries, all the pictures were together, how they had a conversation with each other. The images, when you place one next to another, they inflect different meanings one way or the other. So we worked very closely to arrange the show. And then we also wrote text to go along with about half of the photographs that would provide context about what the subject matter of the photograph is. So many of the photographs are of sites of advanced technology and innovation. And many people don't know what a tokamak or a stellarator is. They're nuclear fusion experiments, but even that doesn't necessarily tell you so much about what you're looking at. So it's just to provide some kind of context, a point of entry for viewers.
Although you don't need it, they're still beautiful.
Exactly, you don't.
It just adds something extra. And I wanted to talk about the photos that you take that include the viewers, because there's so many of them. And in fact, there's that whole series where you don't even see what they're looking at, right? You've turned the camera the other way, and we're only seeing people gazing up at some piece of art. What is it about the viewer experience that draws you, the human beings looking at a piece of art?
Well, that I think the two ingredients that I find very important to make art, you want that the experiences you're talking about are something that you know about yourself, so that you're private, the experiences that you in through joy and
right, your own personal
suffering.
Experiences
yeah,
that you
personal
bring.
Experiences, but also is something that you think that's a general experience that many people might have and that you can share with the public, with other people. So and your one experience is like, what do you do with art? You know, what do you, can you, like, what do you get from it? How can you read it? What do you do with the ambiguity of your own thoughts about it? What do you do with a lack of information, or how do you deal with interpretation of something you're looking at? And I was that interested me for a long time and still fascinates me. So when people come, as we were talking about before, you come to my exhibition, I have my particular set of reasons why I did this, but it's and for me, I cannot even look at my own pictures as if I wouldn't know them.
So
and I cannot, I can try to steer people into understanding what I was talking about or what I'm talking about with the pictures, but it's, many things will happen that I have no control about.
And bother you? That
no, of course not. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun. People tell me things about my pictures that I haven't seen yet, or that it's very enriching. What can be very enriching. So this whole subject matter of the museum visit, in particular, also because it's such an open field. It's such a kind of free. It's a freedom to go into the museum and look at some work that somebody did. For their own private reasons, it's not so determined, and the borders are sort of unclear, and it's all about negotiation of thought and negotiation and encounter between people, and it's a very interesting field that has a lot of freedom, and I think that's something
kind of,
I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of enlightening to hear you talking about how much you enjoy that freedom, because people have described your photos as have near clinical objectivity. I think I read one person describing it, and I wonder how you handle that in the hanging of the photographs. Some of these photos, like I said, they almost look deconstructed, as though this is a real nuclear reactor, and yet it almost looks like a stage that Kubrick created, right? Because it's so precise. How do you handle that?
Well, all the photographs are composed very rationally and organized, and they seem almost clinically objective in some ways. And yet there are little details that Thomas includes that allude to humanity in one way, and that kind of allows a person to maybe place themselves in that photograph and kind of relate to that. There's a photograph toward the beginning of the exhibition, which is of a nuclear fusion experiment, and it's just a mess of wires and foil and metal. And then there's a blue glove that's just resting in the corner, and you know there's a hand, like the presence of the human hand is literally in that photograph, and so that kind of otherwise kind of alienating surface gets broken down and allows you a little point of entry into the photograph.
Now, you created a very now famous portrait of the Queen and her husband. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading at the time that you were really surprised that they would have asked you to do that. Why?
Well, because I'm not... usually I'm sort of an anti-celebrity culture person, and I'm not... I started to do family portraits and portraits of couples in the mid-80s, because I'm interested in family dynamic and I'm interested in questions how do people become who they are, and the fact that one gift you get, when you get born, you get three gifts: the time in which you were born, and the location, and to who you were born, and that's something that's inevitable, and that's a gift that we all share, and what you do with it or what comes out of it for your life, it depends on many, many things. So when I'm interested in this, your fate of that construction. So, but I've never been interested in photographing famous people, so I was, when I got the call from the National Portrait Gallery in London, I thought this is insane. But I understood that they were interested because I have a very kind of highly pitched your sensitivity to psychological science, conditions.
The photos there's a level of perfection.
So I said to them, well, I think I have to think about it for 3 days before I give you an answer, because I thought, okay,
told the Queen that you had to
think about the Queen, but the but the curator at the National Portrait Gallery, of course, they asked me first before they addressed the Queen, and I thought. When I thought about it, I thought, okay, if it succeeds, then I will always have to talk about it, even though the picture doesn't matter so much to me, because it's like an exotic. It was a very fun and challenging and intense work to do, but it has a very exotic place in my whole oeuvre. It's not so. It doesn't matter so much to me, even though it was a fun experience. It was was a big challenge. I've prepared for a very, very long time to make that picture.
Like reading a biography.
I read a biography. I went with two assistants to that place and modeled the composition and tried to find out what to do.
The dress she would wear.
Yeah, exactly. I demanded to choose a dress because I thought I cannot risk if she comes in an orange, ugly dress or something that doesn't match the colors of the space or so, or like a yellow hat or something like that. So that all worked out very, very well. And we negotiated about the time. I wanted 1 hour. She wanted to give me 20 minutes, and we ended up going to 45 minutes, but it took only 30 minutes, and so I gave them like 15 minutes, and then I showed them a picture of our new puppy dog, because I thought it would be
fun. She likes her dogs, her corgis.
And so we had these pictures, standing together laughing about the picture of our puppy dogs.
Yeah, this is Thomas Struth. An exhibit of his work opens at the High Museum of Art on Sunday. It runs until January. You can see some of the photographs at our website, gpbnews.org. They're gorgeous. I recommend it. This is On Second Thought.